Blog Talk Radio.
Accept the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving the covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's all like the circus.
I would say children of all ages.
Children of all ages. We would like to welcome you all to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson. And
Poetic Lace.
And we're bringing you another fine show here on this Sunday evening. I don't know if it's cold where you're at, warm, hot, whatever. Be bringing it to you. We have some interesting things to say today.
We definitely do.
We got only a couple weeks left before you guys decide to vote. Make sure you... before we get into that, we can't just get into that like that, you know? So, let's go ahead and handle our business. And then we gonna get into that.
All right. Because I do have a mouthful to say about that. You know, we always got a mouthful. But today, as I was sitting to find out what the scripture was, I was like, Lord, what you want me to say? What am I going to? And God took me to Jeremiah 17:10. And Jeremiah 17:10 reads, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So without even giving you an interlude of this text, I just want to really be practical about what's being said. And it's so, so powerful to me. I, on a daily basis, I deal with people saying, God knows my heart. Now, they go to the club. They don't go to church the next day. Stuff like this happens, or they want to quit doing something, but they keep doing it. And I'd be like, bro, you need to stop. Man, I'm going to stop, man, God know my heart. Females, God know my heart. Like, I hear this often, right? Now, we're looking at the text, and it says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. That's what God's saying. I search the heart. I test the mind. Cool. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So look at this whole thing. Yeah, I see your heart. I see your heart. But I'm giving you based off of your actions. I'm judging you off of what you're doing. So, like, my response is always the same. I'm like, yeah, God sees your heart, but he also sees your actions. So the whole thing is, how long are we going to continue to give that excuse? Yeah, God know my heart. Well, I ain't got to do this and that. Y'all can't judge me because God know my heart. Well, bruh, your actions really, they flow from your heart. So, if your actions are wicked, it's probably because you got a wicked heart, and the Lord knows that. Let's start being real people. That's the whole thing that I'm really, we getting straight to it. No more metaphors, no more punchlines. The whole thing is, what the word says, this is God talking, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So, a good tree can't bear bad fruits. That's what the word says. And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. So The whole thing is how you, being a good person, keep doing bad things. Just want to know. Maybe there's something going on with your heart that you don't even know. Yeah, God knows your heart, but do you know your heart? These are all things that we, not just as Christians, as people, but it is all about Christianity, but we as people, not just black people, I'm talking about people that God created, we need to look into our hearts and we really need to start questioning and chastising our ways. We really need to start seeking ourselves. Why is it that I keep doing this? Why am I doing that? Why am I just so disobedient? It's a heart condition. God, you see my heart. I need you to clean my heart, Father God. I need you to help me deal with this problem that I just keep doing. We need to start being more responsible for our doings. Because I would rather the Lord to bless me for my good fruit or my doings instead of me getting chastised, getting whoopings or punishments because I keep doing something wicked and I keep blaming other folks or I keep putting on this little, oh, I'm good, man, because God knows my heart. But your actions are showing your true heart. So y'all remember that, just like we were speaking on before, how faith without works is dead. So works plays a huge role in the faith. So just like that here too, you know, your actions showing is showing your heart. It's showing who you really are. It's showing your mind frame. It's showing who you are. Your actions speak a lot. Actions speak louder than words. That's the phrase that I grew up off of. So this is the root of it all right here. You talking good, but your actions showing so much other. How do you expect somebody to respect you when you keep doing the same thing that's contradicting who you say you are? These are things we got to keep in mind. What you got to say, Lamont?
Well, man. Okay, look. But like this, ladies and gentlemen. God knows my heart. And I have to say that because there are some things that we're going to discuss today. So I have to bag it up with God knows my heart. Because, like, last week, we had this individual that did some interesting things by going undercover as a gay person. And
I thought you were going to forget about that.
No, man. I mean, like, and the reason why I didn't forget about it is because you don't know how things affect people.
Right.
And being that, I'm going to do an analogy, being that the population that I work with, anything and everything can set someone off. So there might be, like, small set of things that you don't have control of. Like, a kid might come in, have a bad day, and you might happen to have cologne on that person is struggling with their father. Let's say they've struggled with their father.
Wow.
And you happen to have that cologne on, and you know, you don't know. They're not going to say, man, the reason why I'm saying, and I'm going off because that scent reminds me of my father, and he used to beat me when I was, you know, they're not going to
say it. That happened.
So the thing is, I've used that as an analogy because anything can set someone off. So when that came public, being that some people may be on a low, I'm not justifying anything, but some people might be undercover with their sexuality. Now that you know what I'm saying? That thing is kind of crazy, you know. But anyway, however, you know, God is good regardless of what's going on. God knows that gentleman's heart. God knows the young lady that glued her child's hands to the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So these individual hearts, they know that. And we can sit here, fuss, and debate about it, but the bottom line, they have to live with it.
Right. This is something that I'm learning as of lately. About misunderstandings. Now, I grew up misunderstood, just everything, because, like, you know, to really get to know a person, I mean, you really have to know their background. You have to understand where they're coming from, why they think this way, everything like that. I'm learning that sometimes good intentions are some of the worst decisions. It leads to some of the worst decisions. And the thing about it is, like, it puts you in a position to judge carefully. You know, judge as not like only God can judge. You know, you judge according to, you don't judge somebody to condemn them, but you judge in the faith to help them in some sense, right? And what I'm basically saying is, like, you really got to be careful on example I can give you. You know, I'm in the faith. You know, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet. This is where people have been acknowledging me as, giving me titles, all that good stuff. Cool. Now, mind you, music is my thing. I'm in entertainment. You know, we are in entertainment. This is my career. This is what I'm doing. So I have to have a business mind. I have to be structured. I have to be really disciplined and obedient to the work that I'm in front of me. And if I fall off of that, I can easily get pimped or inevitably get robbed or inevitably back homeless. Anything like that can really occur if I'm not on that. Now, due to that reason, and I'm well aware of that, I encounter other people in the faith who are really just street hustlers, you know, who just, you know, deal with their music as mixtape, free mixtapes. They don't know anything about the business, so they don't have music on iTunes or anything like that. And so when we start working, we do work together sometimes. I'm like, we can't do this until it's copyrighted. I can't do this and that, da da da. So now their mindset is thinking they quick to judge me on some, this thing all about self, this man only about this, this and that, da 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 da. Mind you, they have no understanding of what's going on. So I share that small analogy to dealing with people when they deal, when they discipline their children or when they're doing certain, there's certain actions, there's some kind of motive behind it. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Even with the, you know, the Christian fella. Now, I'm not judging him because he went undercover gay and whatever he did. You know, like I said, I don't commend it at all. But, like, also at the same time, I'm not going to judge him because there is a huge misunderstanding in there, because I don't know his true motives behind everything or what led him to do it. Like I said, good intentions often lead to bad decisions when we move off emotions. And I really feel like that happens so often. But we as people, brother, sister, in faith, you know, we judge according to, we just got to be careful and sure, because I ain't even going to use any big words. We got to be really, really careful on how we start blaspheming other people. Quick to judge them, send them to hell, quick to say all this negative stuff about them, yet we don't take time out to gain an understanding on where this came from, where were their motives, why did you do this? And let's break this down and see if it was the right move. Let's help. Let's pray about this. You know, why we don't go to the throne no more? Why we don't pray about it? Mm-hmm. We just let any spirit come in and just do whatever. People commit suicide, we just be like, oh, he was crazy anyway. But why? How can we prevent this from the next little brother or little sister that's coming up that may run into it? What can we do different that we didn't do to help them? Or, shoot, same thing with the gay dude. What could have we done to tell somebody, you know what, I understand what you're saying, but that's not a good idea. You know what I mean? Or next time, don't do that no more. Or let's put out an article saying, okay, this is what Buddy did. Okay, this is what we should not do. You know what I mean? Like, we don't ever try to justify these actions. Not justify the actions, but we don't ever try to correct actions. We go hard. We clown and joke it and keep on beating it down. Now, mind you, y'all hear me saying all this stuff. We probably going to run into another article, and I'm a clown. I'm a clown and joke it. So y'all forgive me in advance if it happens. But I'm just saying, we clown and criticize everything, yet and still we don't do anything to cause correction or unity or love, anything that's godly. We don't do. And we do have to do better on that.
Yeah. I agree, because I tell you what was a what. What? There's some interesting things that I'm going to be talking about today.
Yes.
Yeah. And that what is going on in America is crazy. There's a lot of stuff that's going crazy. But, however, Lace is absolutely right. We all need to definitely get into the corrective mindset of dealing with individuals. If you're in that circumstance, if you know this particular individual that's doing something that's outlandish, maybe that you don't agree with, but now you have to be careful about how you do that too, because unfortunately a lot of people are very sensitive. So if you tell somebody, hey man, you shouldn't do that, man, then they're gonna look at you like, hey, who are you, and what is your business about? You know what I mean?
Right.
why? There's another WH. Why are you in my business? You know what I mean? So, so we have to make sure that we have tact in how we handle it. Don't just like, hey, snap your fingers. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that to your child, you know, rolling your neck and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just cause further conflict. But if you, you know, if you are in the position to say something, try to say something, because back in the day, people made it their business to be in a position, but because of society as it is now, it's very easy to sue. You know what I mean? You know, you can't spank your kids in public because somebody might be offended. I'm going to tell you what. There's that WH. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, I do whip my children or whoop my children in public.
True.
Not with a strap, you know, but I do spank them on the butt and, you know, correct the spanking if it's necessary. If it's something that's really, really bad, then I'll spank them on their butt.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that I can talk to them about, pull them aside, hey, X, Y, Z, then it's not necessary. You know what I mean? But if that X, Y, Z is continue to press, then you have to just discipline accordingly.
Yeah.
But however, unfortunately, somebody might be watching me. They might be like, hey, you see what he just did to that child? He hit that child on her butt. You know what I mean? Hey, that's my child. That should be able to do that.
Right.
People have called the cops on people before.
Mm-hmm.
You see that in the news all the time, you know? So it's insane. It's like, you know, society is insane.
And to be real with you, it kind of infuriates me. Like, I might as well just get it off my chest because I was trying to muzzle myself as you talk. But it's crazy where now there is a thin line between abuse and discipline. True. But let's say it's discipline. Let's keep it on the discipline line. We're not going to touch bases on that. But on the other side of that thin line of discipline, like, who are you to call the police on me because I'm disciplining my child in public? And you don't? Like, this is, no, you know what? Let's go all in. You put a leash on your child? But the day that my grandmother would put a leash on my child is the day that she would get out her grave and go to Burger King and then buy the Burger King store. In other words, never. When did it become cool to put a leash on your child because you can't discipline your child? So instead of, I don't want to raise my voice and I don't want to whoop them or nothing like that, I don't believe in that, so I'm just put a leash on them. So when they just start running around, I just pull the leash. So your child has become, as you have belittled your child to an animal. Now, I'm not knocking anybody that does it, but if you've taken it, I am knocking you. Oh, well, that's what it is. Because I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lamont.
I don't agree. I don't believe.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be the voice of reason.
Do that.
Child should not be on a leash.
Okay.
Don't want to knock people for that. I don't believe that's. I think that's the worst product out there. To put a harness and a leash on your child, no.
Right. You should not happen. It should not be. But I kind of digress. I kind of deviated from what I was going with discipline. But I'm saying that look how discipline is just not even valued to the point where you don't even bother to discipline. You just buy a harness, a leash. I'm going to call it a leash. You put a leash on your child. I really feel like that's kind of belittling. But that's me. That's my feelings on it. But back to discipline. It's a problem with disciplining kids nowadays because you got child department services that are immediately stepping in because neighbors are immediately calling people. You remember like we were talking about the young lady. The young lady let her kid play outside by herself. Who's of age to play by herself. And now you got people calling in, oh, yeah, the child's by herself, and the parent goes to jail.
Mm.
You know, when there are major situations going on where, like I said, it's in line between abuse and discipline that's going on, yet nobody's speaking up, no one's calling. So I have a problem with that, with how we can't whoop our kids or how everybody has something to say immediately. Everybody's putting their 2 cents in about something that's so petty. But when we got major things going on, people can easily look the other way. You got people out there that you can watch somebody, a woman getting beat by a man, yet you won't voice anything. But you'll go home and talk about it with your spouse. But you can't call the police on the scene, nor will you speak up, or nor will you break up the fight or anything like that. Like, I'm just trying to figure out where is our mind frame at? Do we really care? What is the point?
You're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. And it's just like this. Society is so twisted. I know we go up from subject to subject, but I'm going to just say this, and then we want the current event. Society is so twisted that there's a story here in Hampton Roads area where the students had the teacher's iPad, seen it on the iPad at school. They saw the teacher, excuse me, it's not, the story is not here, but I saw it on the news here, okay?
Okay.
The story is based out of Indiana. But however, the students were in school, they were using iPad in school, and they saw one of the teachers topless on the iPad, and the students are the one that got in trouble, not the teacher. You know what? I'm not going to even go. I have to stop there because that's one of those crazy stories. But that's twisted. How, as a teenager, what teenager is going to turn away from looking at that on their iPad? On their iPad, it's not their fault that it's on there.
Right.
It's the teacher.
The teacher was
topless. So you try to suspend the kids for looking at the teacher's topless on the iPad.
Right.
I can't figure that one out. But we're going to go over that when it's time. But
That's a lot right there that we got to say.
But the thing is, I'm just going with the line, the theme, that society is so twisted that we don't have our priorities straight when it comes to disciplining the correct people when it comes down to it. So how these kids looking at that when the teacher should be suspended? What I mean?
I agree.
But anyway, so we're gonna move on. I'm a very emotional speaker here, and when things get under my skin, I like to talk about it.
I understand. I'm trying because I want to dig into it too right now because we are touching it, but we can stick to the plan.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna go ahead and do the current event because. The couple of stories that I'm going to talk about, y'all going to be like, what? Just like that one right there, that story right there. Y'all already like, what? With the what, W-H, what?
You know what? I got an idea. All right. That's what we're going to do. All right. So I think we should just go on the song, and we're just going to come out with a new mindset. What you think?
You said go where?
We go into a song, and we come out with a new mindset, going back into the plan.
That sounds great. That does sound great. You know, I have to come out with a fresh mindset because, you know what, everything's going to be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, before you go into the song, for the record, I will whoop my kids in public when I have them, and they will not wear a leash. I just had to say that for the record. Okay, now everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right. Al Green, here on the Covenant Cafe. Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And so what we're going to do is get into some current events.
All right. Let's get it. So this week, I don't know. Now, it's kind of funny to say this, kind of interesting to say it, but I just lately just been feeling harder to dig up some real, not real, everything's real, but news that's outside of the box, but that's very serious. But anyway, I do want to touch on some very interesting topics that I did discover. One thing that I found was police find a body burned in California home after family's killing. Now, this one kind of touches basis on the scripture, you're going to reap what you sow. So what happened was there's a hunt for this man who sprayed a California family with bullets, as the article reads, killing two and wounding three. And this was a family, a father, a mother, son, daughter kind of thing. Now, what happened was this guy, he's 55 years old, he hops the gate and he shoots, he's shooting at a family. The family, the father of the family, he dives in front of the mother and the kids, taking all the shots, and he ends up dying. One of the kids, the sons, as he fell, the son, he received a bullet to the head. The other one, the kids, the other two kids, Two of them get shot in the lungs. One gets shot in the lung. The other one's shot in the stomach. They're in critical condition right now, and the mother's shooting the legs as she tries to run off to carry the son away. Mm. Now, the thing about it, so afterwards, this guy, he's a suspect. They go to his house, and his house is found burned down. As they go through the stuff, they find his they find a carcass, and they believe him to be the suspect. So my thing is, if he is, you know, the culprit of the matter, you know, mercy on his soul if it is him, I'm kind of looking at it like, wow, he got what had coming to him in some sense.
Wow.
But karma's crazy. And if it's not him, it's still interesting that his house burned down. It's kind of, the whole thing is really, really interesting on that story, but that's what police are leaving us to believe right now, that the possible suspect is burned up with his house after the shootings. Crazy. But that's how it is. It's funny how terrorist thing happened. Speaking of terrorists, down in the Jordan, how about their intelligence group? They actually foiled a plan for these major terrorist plot, in quote unquote, for the shopping center of malls in a residential area. The terrorists called their plan 9/11-2. Basically, what they were going to do on the anniversary of Al Qaeda's attack. They were going to go hit Jordan. They were going to go hit the Jordan shopping center with explosives, with guns, bombs. This is galore. But somehow their intelligence hit that. So, Lamont, I really wanted to touch base on you. How do you feel about this sequel to the 9/11 attack? Mind you, this wasn't going to happen on 9/11. This plot stopped, was apprehended a couple days ago, as a matter of fact.
Wow. First, my take on it, first of all, the sequels to things in life don't have to keep happening. I mean, mm-hmm. It's happening for across the board. It's almost like you have to patent the sequel term now. You got sequels in movies, sequels in music, you know. Now they're saying a 9/11 part 2, you know. But however, I understand where they're going with it. It's kind of picking. But however, it just goes to show you that the war on terrorism is an endless thing. And this also goes to show people that when a previous president stated that we're going to win the war on terrorism, no one's going to win that war.
Mm.
Because for the simple fact, it's just like saying there's always going to be evil.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because when terrorists are a group of, it's an act. It's a terrorist act. It's an act. So if I make a threat on my government, that's a terrorist threat, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you're not going to win the war on terrorism. And a previous president of ours stated that, and our current president is saying that, yeah, we're going to win the war on terrorism. You're not. We're not going to, that war is not going to stop. So basically, they say that in the mindset of finality, if I say that right. Because when you say we're going to win, that gets some people that's not looking at deep enough to say, okay, we're going to win this war one day. But there's no winning that. So instead of saying, hey, everybody, terrorism is pretty much, we're not going to win that battle. It's going to be an ongoing thing. So you just kind of sit back and relax. You know, and that's going to stir up people. But it's just something that, I mean, I understand that, but there's something that you're not going to win. Every time you knock off a top boss, the next one moves up. Yeah, okay, we got Bin Laden. Yay, it's all over. No, the next one moves up.
Mm.
It just, you know, one gets knocked off, the next one moves up. It's like an endless container of Pez. You know, the Pez candy. And
mm-hmm.
And you know how you take one and then the next one pop up? You take one and then pop up. That's just how it works. You knock off the one, the next one pops up. You knock off the next one, the next one pops up. You know, so that is just something that we're not going to win. It's always good that we get, you know, different countries able to stop certain acts, just like they say this 9/11 part two. Yes, we stopped that one. That's great. I mean, we need to continue to stand on our toes. I agree upon that. You know, we have to stay on our toes. So that is my thought on, you know, this war on terrorism. I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's fine.
You did something. You know, you answered somebody's question. But it's all good, though. It's all good. So moving on to our news, our terrorist fighting quarterback, Tim Tebow, who's actually fighting the war for us as far as the Christian faith on the football field, he's actually moved even closer. Well, he's on now, he owns trademark to the phrase T-Boing. As we know, T-Boing is when he prayed on the field, when he took that one knee fist up on the field, you know, to thank God for whatever whatever he had done, success on the field. He actually is not the creator of T-Boing. He just did it, and somebody out, a fan, named it T-Boing, and he went public with it by creating a website and really promoting it. From that point forward, you know, Tebow was, you know, cool, that's what's up. You know, y'all praying, cool. But not making a big deal. Tim Tebow himself did not make a big deal out of it. As time went on, people have used this T-Boing phrase creating logos from it, and also started trying to brand it and to make money off it, make some sort of profit. As it began to grow, Tebow noticing it, he's noticing that people are trying to make money off of the Christian faith, off of what he stands for. So with that being said, he went to fight for the brand to take it. So now it's like anything, when y'all see these T-shirts, T-Boing, this and that, that's not associated to Tim Tebow. Yet people are still making money from it. So in order to shut that down, Tebow went after the trademark, shutting all of that down. So now that he's owning the trademark to it, people can't do it unless they ask for his money. So all these companies and buildings and shirts and merchandise that's trying to come out saying T-Boing, it's going to get cut. Because Tebow himself is not doing this for money. He's actually doing this for God. So kudos to him and that victory there. Moving forward and everything, I actually wanted to talk to you guys a little bit just about health, little health issues, about how the certain vitamins that we take, how they can prevent certain diseases that we're dealing with. New studies come out showing that multivitamins actually can prevent males from having cancer throughout their body. So, of course, I encourage the usage of multivitamins on a daily basis, all because we as Americans, we do not have, well, people in general, we don't have proper dieting habits. So what I'm saying is we don't get the amount of nutrition that we need on a day-to-day basis. So to substitute that in some form, not 100%, but in some form, we should take multivitamins. You have one a days and one sources, or even just taking a vitamin A, B, C, D, K, all those electrolytes, all those stuff that we need. I do encourage that we start getting on that to prevent cancer, to prevent early ages of Alzheimer's. Like these multivitamins, they are saying, are actually good preventions for that. To continue on with that, also studies that showed about fish oil. Now, growing up, my mom had me taking powdered oil. She said it's good for your immune system, and it's also good for your brain. Come to find out, fish oil actually saved somebody's brain. This dude, 17-year-old Bobby, he was in a car accident. He was actually comatose. They said that his brain status was equivalent to a brick. He was actually on his way to so he was actually dead. That's how the doctor, quote-unquote, said it.
Wow.
Continuing on, after cutting his brain and to relieve pressure and everything, he actually lived, and it was a miracle. He survived that first stage of the accident. Time went on. The article didn't release details of how it went about, but the collard liver oil that they injected in him actually played a huge role in bringing him out of that coma, that comatose stage. So with that being said, you know how they say you are what you eat. You are what you eat, and that's really a true phrase. So when we eat healthy, we exercise, when we do things like that, we promote our body to endure these traumatic experiences. It helps with our stress factors. It helps with our thinking. It helps with our energy levels. Overall, vitamins and good nutrition will do your body well. So I encourage that we actually start paying attention to our eating habits, that we pay attention to our intake on what we're putting in our body, so what we release won't be so detrimental to us or the people around us.
That's a lot of interesting things. I didn't interject because I wanted to hear the rest of all.
I understand. Yeah, there's nothing to interject.
The quote, the patent of the T-boy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, just like the real McCoy, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's a smart move, I guess. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's very, I think it's really good. It's just like, let's say because you're a playwriter. And your signature, anyone, is Lamont. Lamont's here. You know, I'm just trying to think of something off to the head. Lamont's here. That's your signature, right? And it's your signature, but you just say that because you just say it. That's just how you close out. Cool. And let's just say that Lamont's here is very encouraging because all your plays are inspiring. So after, let's say, after I do a show, I just say, Lamont's here. It got nothing to do with you to say, but at the same time, everybody knows what it means because every time you do it, it's something inspiring. So, okay, cool. Now it's that powerful. Now, let's just say, because everybody knows it and this what's up, man, I'm going to make a T-shirt. I'm going to make a T-shirt from this. I'm going to drop a T-shirt. And because of who you are, everybody's copying it. Cool. Now let's just say Lamont is the slogan that goes on the back, and everybody knows that's the brand, and they think it's connected to you. So next thing I know, I'm like, man, you know what? I kind of like goats. They like some attractive animals, right? So on these shirts, on the front of the shirt, I can put goat hands on the front and Lamont's hair on the back. Now, mind you, everything I think is your brand. So because it's your brand, you got something to do with goats. Now, you already know the underlying thing now in entertainment. We don't really want to promote goats because everybody think it's Illuminati. So then you got your Christian audience who supports you. They start backing off because now they think you're a devil worshiper. Mind you, this is your brand even though you didn't create it, but everybody thinks it's attached to you. So in order to prevent the promotion of this negative connotation, what you do? You fight, you get your trademark because it's your trademark, so everybody know you from. So you get it, and it's not necessarily to make money. It's to prevent from all the negative stuff or the promotions because my T-shirt is going to sell, my goat head shirt is going to sell because your slogan is on it or your action is on it. And because your action is on it, it's attached to you. Because it's attached to you, everybody thinks it's your brand and it's your saying. And it's only selling because it's you.
Yeah.
So that's like the underlining of why he went after the trademark T-boying.
T-boy, you off the hook. I'm going to cut him off the hook.
There it is.
That's cool, man. You know, T-boy, you're a cool guy. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is we'll go into another song. It won't be Al Green. Everything's going to be alright. Everything is going to be alright, so here on the Covenant Cafe. But you know what I'm going to say? As we're going to go into some Mary Mary. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. That's going to Mary Mary.
Let's come out to some weird true news and some interesting things that's going on. Some things that we touched upon earlier that I had to cut off because we want to kind of want to get into the meat and potatoes of that. So we're going to go into Mary Mary, Guy and Me here on the Covenant Cafe. I'm your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
You're listening to The Sound.
Yeah.
together. Name it twice.
You silly. But, hey, speaking on that, I do want to share something about God and me. A lot of people don't see that the thing about God and me is so powerful because a lot of people don't see what you're going through or what you're dealing with in the inside. And I can speak as, you know, as an artist. On the outside looking in, a lot of people think everything's cool, everything's, you got everything together. And, you know, I can speak the same thing for a lot of other artists, whether independent or mainstream or even entertainers or people in general who has it together, as far as the outside looking in sees it. But the thing about it is, speaking from my experiences, there's been so many times that I've wanted to quit. So many times I didn't want to get on a show. So many times I didn't want to do another song. So many times that I wanted to just give up. But the thing about that God in me is what causes me to keep going. It's what causes me to smile when I'm crying. It causes me to laugh when I'm hurting. So what I encourage, just based off a song God dropped in my spirit, that when you have a relationship with God, there's a God that lives in you, that Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ. He lives inside of you, and he causes you to press forward. He causes you to look good, even when you in hell, when there's turmoil on around you. Because I know so many people, dog, who cannot pay their bills yet, and still, when they're in public, they look fly. And they're going hard for God. You know what I mean? So it's like what I encourage is relationships. It's all about relationship with God, because that God inside of you will make you look better than what you really are. I had to throw that out there because it was just on my spirit after hearing that song. But go ahead, bro. You know how it be. You know how that go.
No, because I just got to drink. I had to get some liquids for my throat. So that was right on point, because when you said it, I was like, "Now, I do need some some to drink." So you said that. I was like, go ahead, bro. I need some liquid to get my throat straight. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there's some interesting things. I know we talked about a lot of negative, hard-hitting current events this week. But this weird news, but true news, is pretty interesting. Okay? I want you to understand what I'm about to say. So you just sit down. If you walk around, just sit down. If you're standing up, just sit on down. Because here's the story. Nicole Huey's hamster taken into protective custody when woman was accused of DUI. A hamster.
Come on. Come on.
A hamster.
Come on.
Yes.
So, as a hamster, you get time. Go ahead. Never mind. I got to say. Finish the story before I start talking.
This hamster will be happy to be back at its own wheel. Beaverton police pulled over Nicole Huey, 27 years old, at around 12:30 a.m. on Tuesday on suspicion that she was driving in impaired state. Okay, the report says when officers approached the vehicle, they noticed the woman had a hamster in her lap. The hamster was not using any safety equipment.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrote Officer Mike Rowe. Notice I had to say Mike Rowe. Make sure you know who this guy is. In a post titled, "A hamster was taken into protective custody." This was on their police department's Facebook page. Now, Huey got out of the vehicle, leaving the hamster to watch from the dashboard, according to the post. She reportedly told an officer that there was no one who could come pick up the hamster. So, they said, this is interesting. This is what they said. Should just kill him.
Whoa.
So, not one for murder. The officer told her that they would not harm the animal.
Uh-huh.
And would take it to a safe location. So she was just going, hey, there's no one there. She's just going to kill a hamster. So they had to take the little creature into protective custody. It took not one, but two, three officers to capture the furry little passenger, according to Rose Post. Huey was arrested and jailed on an accusation of driving under influence of intoxicant. The hamster was brought to a local veterinary clinic, and police say Huey arrived to retrieve the animal later that morning.
Now, listen, all right. Now, I know I'm the only one thinking this. Why the heck is this news? Like, on the real, you telling me this is where my tax dollars are going? Like, a confrontation on, okay, you know, what are we going to do about this hamster? Like, nah, I'm glad they didn't kill it. I didn't want the hamster to die. I really didn't, because I'm like, if they kill this hamster, I'm going to be pissed. But for real, you telling me, like, this is a debate? This is really a debate?
Three officers? No, I got, you know how many, dog. Somebody just got their dope kicked in down the hall not too long ago, and we couldn't even get one officer here within 3 hours.
Maybe not if they looked at the hamster.
And you telling me three officers came to save a hamster? To capture the hamster first, and then escort him to a better living environment until he got picked up by another owner? But one officer can't come within 3 hours to come save this lady who's getting raped? Wow. All right, I'm not going to deviate from that. Continue with the weird news, sir.
Wow. That's deep. Oh, yeah, I feel you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we going to the next level here. Going to the next level.
Take me there.
Check this out. Samurai Vigilante draws sword on Phoenix light rail to break up a brawl. The Way of the Samurai was resurrected last week when a mysterious as yet unidentified passenger pulled a full-length samurai sword to break up a fight on a Phoenix light rail train. According to the reports, it says the fight broke out around 2 a.m. on October 6th near Central Avenue and Camelback Road. That's a weird street already. wow. Never mind. Hello. In the videotape, already a viral hit, two younger males appeared to jump another male, kicking and punching him repeatedly in the head. Suddenly, a white male in a baseball cap and headphones appears on the right hand side of the video, and unsheath, I've never heard this word, but I do apologize if I murdered it, a katana sword pointed it steadily at the attackers. So at least we know you're saving Oregon when this happens. That's it. Wow. I mean, excuse me, not Oregon, Phoenix. Now, my thing is this. This guy was able to pull out a full-length sword. You know how long swords are?
They are long.
Who's watching this guy pull this out? That's crazy. But however, Juan Vargas was taping the incident just inches from the samurai vigilante. I was like, what in the world? That's not what he said, but I'm going to say, what in the world? Who carries a sword?
Hey, when you said it, real talk, brother's a superhero. He is a superhero.
Yeah. As soon as the guy pulled out the sword, everybody was like, whoa. Everybody got quiet. Everybody was like, okay. I guess don't do nothing to get him mad or don't upset him. Now, these words are very polite. I'm quite sure these are the true words, but anyway. But
yes. Continue. I'm sorry. It was funny.
The reports say the dangerous martial arts weapon is generally not seen on public transportation. You think?
Yeah.
But whether the man is a true master of Bushido, the code of the samurai, or simply someone who has seen one too many, you know, films, okay?
Okay.
It's a new point. Now, however, After all of this, this sword wielding stuff going down, after all of this, his intimidation tactic worked. So he was able to make the attackers flee the light rail car. Although the incident was not immediately reported to the local law enforcement, the incident is currently under investigation by the Phoenix police. Passengers seem to be generally supportive of the wannabe warrior. There is no accident, and, hey, he was totally there for a reason, one passenger told the reporters. And, hey, they felt like the dude was right about what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah. I can't complain either. I wouldn't complain.
Now, the last story is the one that really got under my skin kind of early.
Okay.
And what happened in Indiana, the students, you know, with the technology nowadays, students are able to, you know, work with the iPads and laptops and in classroom and things of that nature. So here's the storyline. Students see topless teacher on iPad.
Mm.
Middle schooler suspended, teacher not fired. Go figure.
Nah.
Anderson, Indiana. Three Indiana middle school students are suspended after seeing a topless picture of their teacher. One student said the photo popped up on a school-issued iPad during class. School-issued. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Talk.
The boy and his mother said the punishment is not fair. I'm with them. And the picture showed up on the teacher's. She was topless. It was a 13-year-old boy saw this picture. Now, mind you, this is a middle school. He's talking about it. This incident that happened at the school where he and three other students, they were in a classroom playing a game called Flow.
Mm-hmm.
And on a school on a school issue iPad, he said one of the students pressed the button and a photograph with his teacher bare chest was revealed.
Mm.
Just like he said, it's not our fault that she had the photo on there. We couldn't do anything not to look at it. I'm with them. They're middle school students.
Right.
Christian or not Christian. I'm just saying, like, you are a human. And the thing is, at that age, this is stuff that you're still exploring.
Mm.
So for them to say, oh, okay, look at that. That's my teacher. That's not going to happen. That's not realistic. Come on. And the real, I think, you know what? I'm actually going to have to stop. I don't even want to read the story any further.
No.
Because the teacher wasn't suspended or fired, but they're seeking suspension from the middle school students. Forget it. I'm going to read it. I'm going ahead and read it.
Go ahead.
It's not all, you know, like the kids said, it's not their fault. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't do anything not to look at it. It was her fault completely. She had a photo on there because her iPhone was synced to it. So it was on her iPhone, so she's sending. She's sexting.
And they were just seeing
the next naked picture. So her iPhone was hooked up to the iPad. So that's how it popped up. So she had to have pressed something to make all of her photos sync on there. So all her photos was on the iPad. Now the school district has a handbook that offers guidelines for the use of the technology. The assistant superintendent, Beth Clark, said the technology use policy was followed and that what happened was quite by accident. Nevertheless, Trout and several other students have been suspended and threatened with expulsion. Still, his mother thinks her son is not being treated fairly. He didn't even touch the iPad. It was another kid who pulled up the picture on the iPad. He never touched it, period. And she feels that it is very unfair. This is an outright everything wrong, period. So she's not going to stop there. In reality, you think she'd be fired because that's a new picture in the school that the students have seen. Now, school district officials said they have taken preventive action against the teacher, but they won't elaborate on what action. Meanwhile, parents disagree with the punishment can appeal.
Mm. Yeah, that's so much, it's juicy. It's too thick. We'll talk the show off. But my overall thing is, once again, it's dealing with discipline. You know, how is it right? First of all, what are we teaching our kids? Like, you discipline, the child has to get some kind of discipline because they, from something they saw that they didn't do. And now you see the teacher who does something and doesn't get any trouble. So it's like, why isn't the teacher coming forth and taking responsibility for her actions? Point blank, period.
She's hiding behind the authorities.
And how is that right? You know, it's so much to say. I'm trying not to even get into the meat of it, to be honest with you, because it's going to stir some stuff up. I don't want to get in the meat of it, but overall, the students are paying for it. Where in your mindset is it right that these students get disciplined and the teacher doesn't get disciplined? And the thing is, she may be getting disciplined behind scenes, but why isn't it open? Why isn't something for the students to see, like, you know what, when you get older, if you do something like this on a job place, this can happen to you. You put your job at threat. Because even though, you know, it's an accident, okay, her iPhone synced with the iPad, it wasn't supposed to happen. Cool, but there's still a consequence for every action.
Mm-hmm.
So you put yourself in jeopardy by even sexting in school, even though it wasn't supposed to be seen. And even if she wasn't sexting, the fact is you still are at an authority level. You have a higher level ranking above your students, so you must carry yourself in an appropriate way. That's just like if I accidentally put a status up or I accidentally put a picture up and I didn't mean to, and it's everywhere now, and I'm like, dang, I shouldn't have did it. Regardless, everybody sees this picture, and because of who I'm supposed to be, a man of God, and if I did something that is against what I stand for, that's my fault. Even though it was an accident, I should have been more responsible with my behavior behind scenes. Like they say, what happens in the dark comes to light.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? What are we teaching our kids? This is my issue. This is my problem. Once again, we're not properly training our kids. So what do we expect them to do when they get older? This is our future. There's no correction being seen in the open anymore because it's a problem. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We don't want our teachers to go on strike. We don't want to do this. What you mean? This is our future that we're talking about.
I'm gonna take it to another level.
I'm trying not to, but go ahead. Do your thing.
Okay, now, I deal with kids on all levels. And I've dealt with parents. Okay. Now, my problem is this. When a kid is blatantly lying on a teacher, they take the child's word. They take the child's word. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They take the child's word. The teacher gets punished, this, that, and the third. Okay. Now, in this case, the kids are actually telling the truth, and they're getting punished. So what type of message is that sending? If I'm telling
That's
the truth, I get punished. But if I lie, the teacher gets fired.
It's, what I hear is either him or me. That's what it comes down to. And the truth ain't going to save me. That's what it's teaching me.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to tell you this. In far as the story goes, the teacher, I mean, actually, you just said it. She's not stepping up. She's hiding behind the administration. I still can't understand. I understand your policies. Your policies and procedures are correct or whatever you're saying. But you have to look at the situation by a situation basis. You have to look at it that way. The children are at school. The piece of technology is in the classroom. This is not the kid's personal product. If it was, it would be a different story because you could say, hey, He pulled it up and said, hey, man, this is what I know about this teacher. And then he pulls it up, da-da-da-da. However, this is on the school property. This is school property, okay? She synced her iPhone up to it. The kids didn't do that.
Yeah, that's deeper. Mm-hmm.
Now, these are middle school students. So you're telling me, you're telling me these kids should have enough discipline not to look at a nude woman when they are young boys. So what kind of message are you sending there? You know, boys are going to be boys, bottom line.
Yeah.
It comes up, they're not going to be like, oh, man, I can't look at this. You know what I mean? After a while, yes. If it's up there and somebody say, hey, I got this picture. You want to look at it? You want to look at it? And then they have an option to say, hey, man, I'm not going to look at that. I don't want to be a part of that. Whatever y'all doing, I don't want to be part of that. But if they're already about to play the game and the thing pop up, you're looking at it like, whoa, is that Miss So-and-so? Is that Miss Jenkins?
Mm.
What?
Mm.
And then they're going to say, hey, look, this is Miss Jenkins. Then they're going to try to verify and confirm. They're going to look at Miss Jenkins at the board, and they're going to look at the picture. These are things that's inevitable. These are things that's going to happen. Now, so you're punishing these kids for something that she did. And y'all standing behind it 100% because of some rule, something that y'all say y'all have in line, in place. So y'all don't break any rules for nobody. This is not really breaking a rule because this is a totally different situation. These are young kids, 13 years old, looking at a new woman, not just an anonymous new woman. It's someone that they know that they're going to see every day of the school year.
They're not
even looking at that. You know, so I think this is the story is a really, I would think, an embarrassment to their school system, period, in the way they're handling it. She need to be the one that suspended. Those kids need to be in school, not dealing with this mess.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is my take on it because I could talk the rest of the show about this lady. But so what we're gonna do is we're gonna I can't even think about that no more because that's just ridiculous. We have to pay our bills. We have to
pay our bills.
We gotta pay our bills and then we're gonna come back.
Cause we'll get suspended.
Yeah, they're like, man, you gotta pay my commercial, man. I want my commercial played, man. You gotta play my commercial. No, I'm just playing. But however, we're gonna pay our bills here and then we're gonna come back with the poet, of course, Poetic Corner. Poet Spot. And we're going to finish off the show with a bang, as always, here on the Cover the Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
I can say that you're wonderful, but it doesn't seem good enough. Can say that you're kind, but that would miss the mark. I can say that you're beautiful, but to me you are so much more. How do I communicate exactly who you are? I'm trying to convey the sentiment of my heart. I really do appreciate the way you brighten up my day.
I can't find the words to describe you.
It would take a million years.
It would take a million years to explain the way I feel.
You are the epitome.
You are the epitome.
Go down the line and name all the things that captivate my heart. But clearly I'm not aware of words that can compare. How do I communicate exactly who you are? I'm trying to convey my heart and say I really do appreciate the way.
Shabbat, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Blow it free into the universe. Take the wind out of tongue and speak to new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Blow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Blow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and lets the stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Blow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to blow it free. Now, leave me.
This is the D Poetry Spot.
Welcome to the ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Poetry Spot.
Hi.
So, Lace has some things, and actually, I have a piece that I looked up as well. I want to lay on you guys before. Poetic Lace laces with his energetic self and poetic self. You know, you go, you little self. No. But, you know, I was looking up different inspirational poems to read. I went to a website. Actually, it's called familyfriendspoems.com. They have a list of different poems, holiday poems, and things of that nature. And I found this one. It's a couple of things. It says a faith poem, and then there's a hope behind the shadows of pain. And it's by Sherman Joy Lipkow. I hope I pronounced your names correctly. But the faith poem goes like this. Some people hurt us in many ways. They left us alone and suffered for miserable life. But no matter what pains we are in, we still have faith, and we hope that our lives will be lightened in the way that we will be free from the shadows of loneliness and pain. Yes, there is always hope for every darkness in our lives. We just need to have hope and believe we can be free from such pain. Next piece goes like this, hope behind the shadows.
Excuse me.
In some others' pretty eyes, there's a great painful disguise. Disguise that dress their lonely heart with devastating cuts that even hurt. Their smiles turned into sobs, their laughter turned into screams, their days turned into nights, and their joys turned into sorrows. But no matter what caused their pain, they move forward as they wipe their tears. For in every beat of a lonely heart, there is hope and light the path. I mean, that's a very strong piece.
Yes.
Wow. All right, you may proceed. I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Okay. See, I wasn't going to do a piece tonight, but after our talk of dealing with the harsh realities of our society, it caused me to go into my archives to something called fantasy. I don't know if you remember or not, but
okay.
Fantasy is basically talking about, you know, we're living in a fantasy and it needs to be addressed. We need some kind of correction. So that's where I'm going to go into before we go into the music. All right.
Every time I turn on the news, I notice more and more that I'm in a generation that lacks the urgency to seek out the real truths. We create new beliefs hoping that this new knowledge will create a new kind of treat that causes consequences not to convict but to lead to a new kind of relief. But all the while, this causes death to follow all, minus all the tweets. Video games like Grand Theft Auto makes it cool to jack a man, lame to take a stand, and better to chase a grand. Having sex at a young age, just thinking it's all in fun, watching PlayStation controllers turn into all types of handguns. And at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, where are they all the time run? See, this is a fantasy where they made you believe that you only live once. But it's a sad surprise to die and wake up and see there's another life in front, where there's one God whose one begotten son died and rose for us. The media won't let you say his name, but I probably say Jesus. See, being a Christian is more than just a choice. It's a lifestyle. So even when I'm in the midst of turmoil, I find a way to smile. Thinking about Jesus on the cross having all those scars, he showed us if your love don't hurt, then you ain't loving hard. He showed us if you can't endure, then your love ain't going far. He showed me that true love can make a bum feel like a star. Yes, I probably say Jesus, but I'm not hoping that he please us, but I'm hoping that he saves us. Away from this fantasy where it's cool to have sex and not raise the kids. Avoid putting knowledge in their lids and easy to do a jail time bid. The thing is, Jesus did his part. Now it's time we do ours. We got to die to our flesh and start living on Mars. Stop focusing on the things of this world and giving swines our pearls. Store up a treasure up in heaven, you know. Start worshiping God every day of the week, all seven. It's time that we wake up before it's too late. This dream is almost over and reality has a hellish fate.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
It's a little truth.
It's always good to spit truth, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's always good to spit truth. Now, you want to tell us about day after day, or my first letter? Which one would you like to proceed with?
Let's go into my first letter first. I want to go into my first letter first because it's another harsh reality. My first letter is actually my first letter. The first song, my first song as far as me writing like a letter. It's actually a true story about my life, the things that I'm dealing with. And it's kind of saying, like, before you judge a book by its cover, I want you to get to know that book. At least open the cover and read the summary before you decide, like, oh, this is what this book about and this is what's going on. That's what my first letter is about. It's actually the first I'm going to write a whole bunch of letters, and that's the first letter.
Well, there it is. My first letter by Poetic Lace here on the Covenant Cafe.
Hey, can you hand me a pen and some paper, please? All right. Where do I start?
Dear God, this letter is from my soul. I'm hoping that one day my whole story is told. Young man coming out of being hellbound. Caught in California, where the hell's at? Gang crimes, people doing time. We all stars, won't be killing over time. I lost my dad 2 days before his birthday. They say always wear a vest, I guess he didn't pray. Mom, you had to make a move to Duval. We left that life in the past, no Q-ball. Disconnect with the fans, is that right? I don't think our blood is thick, cause we ain't cut. I don't remember letters, nor phone calls. Wait, I take that back, there was a PS from the mall. You can't buy love, that's why we always shove. You made so many promises, but never kept them up. This letter's from my soul, I hope that God it reaches you. I don't wanna make you cry, I wanna teach you how to always read a book past its cover. You will never know a person unless you love them. This letter's from my soul, I hope that God it reaches you. I don't wanna make you cry, I wanna teach you how to always read a book past its cover. You will never know a person unless you love them. Part two of this letter, I know you pray better. But sadly, we in Jacksonville with the same weather. People still stealing, people still killing. I tried commit suicide, the Lord wasn't willing. Wait, I went too far into the future. Let me wake the past up like a rooster. We gotta drop it real quick by the Logan. And this house we love God was the slogan. They were sick, so of course we had to care for them. When mama worked two jobs, I was there for them. Diabetes shots, my cell goes to shock. I went too deep, I hit a nerve, make a bleeding stop. I can still hear the screaming at night. I can't sleep sometimes, I gotta write. It was stressful being broken young.
Little kids are treating tongues like a gun. Blessing, hating words so strong. I try to stab myself to make the pain gone. This letter's for my soul, I hope that God it reaches you. I don't wanna make you cry, I wanna teach you how to always read a book past the cover. You will never know a person unless you love them. This letter's for my soul, I hope that God it reaches you. I don't wanna make you cry, I wanna teach you how to always read a book past the cover. You will never know a person unless you love them. I guess I'm gonna stop right here for now. Don't judge a person because of what you think. Let silence fall and love them for what you know. Sincerely yours, Poetic Lake.
That was pretty dope, man.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, as an artist, we should be real. You know, like if I'm a leader, I'm going to let you know that where I came from, this is what I'm dealing with, what I've dealt with, you know, just to show you, like, I ain't perfect. And if you're going through it, you can make it out too.
I mean, if you're on this journey, if you're on this walk, everybody already knows that you're not perfect, you know what I mean? And that's what happens with a lot of Christians. They go into the realm of I'm holier than thou and delivered from that stuff, and I don't even think about it no more. I just rid myself up. That's fine, but you have to remember where you came from too. You know what I mean?
Right. Very true.
So now, day after day, can you give us background on day after day?
So day after day is more. It's an up tempo track. This is this is my day to day kind of thing. Like, Christianity is not a Sunday event. It's not something we do on Sunday. Christianity is a lifestyle. And that's what this song is basically portraying. I actually came up with a concept one day. I was chilling, and I went to my mom's house. She turned the TV on, and they had, you know, I think it's called The Longest Story Ever. One of the Jesus things, Jesus story. It's one of the, I can't remember exactly what that is, the greatest story ever told. And, yeah, and Jesus said, day after day. That's what they just had him say. And I heard it. I said, it is day after day, something like that. And that's how the concept built. So that's what we are. Old school feel and new school feel. You know, we here.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Poetic Lake, day after day.
Day after day. Not to take me anywhere. Day after day. Not to take me anywhere.
Poetry on my mind, I'm feeling like a sign. Actions louder than words, I'm speaking like a mind. God put me in the game, I ain't thinking fame. I wanna thank the people, vision, fixing, fix the frame. The new length that you spit and rip and let it shine. Pledge your votes on PLA, it's time to write the sign. Yes, your selection, God, I'm your selection. I'm going hard like my nickname's a rectangle. Straight sexing, girl, it's no sexing. Why you testing? I want the Lord's blessing. First, gotta do it his way, just not a better way. Sin is the cause, girl, I refuse to pay. Mold me like clay to get some judges' day. Got him yoked tight, tell me what to play. Day after day, I'm all for you all. Just the rise of heaven, like a beanstalk.
Day after day, day after day.
That's how much you gotta follow God. I don't think they got it yet. But let me go back in. Praise God, yeah. I'm something like a pit bull, God, I'm starving. My behavior's kinda wild, I hope you pardon. I'm not malnourished, but I'm hungry. I'm not dehydrated, but I'm thirsty. I'm not a bad dog, but I'm vicious. Take the leash off, God, put me in the trenches. Through it all, Lord, I'ma keep it humble. I know the strong will survive in the rumble. I soak my Bible everywhere like a gat nat. Demons start acting crazy, let me flat down. I never been a killer, but I know gorillas. The beats loose, sign to kill, make a kid killer. The Lord gave me high clothes to barbecue my foes. I don't eat with amateurs, I cook with the pros. While they were busy flossing and eating, they played up. I was busy grinding and getting my weight up.
Day after day.
See, that's how much you gotta follow God.
That's how much you gotta seek him. It's not a one-time thing. But can I go back in? One more thing.
No sleep, cause I'm 18. Saving souls, cause wolves are much deep. I'm so focused, you need more than hocus pocus. The boondock don't even know me, Uncle Rockin'. I'm not a cartoon, nor a tycoon, but I'm gonna sweep the game like a golden broom. I'm so ready, my mind is so steady. I cast my burdens on the Lord, so I ain't walking heavy. That's how much you gotta follow God. See when silence falls, you hear the truth. And the truth is, we gotta see God every day. Enough said. Be late.
Now that definitely had a nice old and new type of old and new type of school appeal to it.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Like, why we gotta be so segregated? You know, let's come together. We can make music together. We can make some things happen.
I like the merge. I like the merge. Now, it's funny because there's a song. Are you familiar with a song called I Won't Complain?
No. It depends.
Well, when you hear a song, it's an older song with this young lady. Her name is Demeter.
Okay.
And she did this back in 2008. It has a nice,
okay,
nice feel to it. I'm going to get into that. And the reason why, because when you listen to the words, it talks about how we shouldn't complain. You know what? Let's get into it, and then we're going to talk about it.
All right.
But before we get into that, but I really dig that Day After Day. Where you get that sample from?
I actually am not sure where the producer, AJ Roberts is the one who produced the beat. I'm not sure where he got the sample from. But the funny thing is, he was going to throw it away. Like, he made the beat, and he's like, yeah, I do. I got something. So I'm looking through his archives, and because I'm at his house. I went to go visit him before we did the business deal, and I'm like, he had the beat, and he had the sample, and it was trash, to be honest with you. How he had it composed at first. And he was like, yeah, man, I just started playing with some da-da-da. I was like, this beat dope. I'm like, we need to do this. Let's do something with it. So I sat down and I co-produced it. And, I was telling him this is what I wanted. They're chopping it up and stringing it out. So I'm not sure where he got the sample at, but we both produced the beat, and it came out dope. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely dope. Now, the song we're going to get into now is called I Won't Complain. It's a very good song. And then by a young lady named Demeter. Now, Reverend Paul Jones sang it back in the day. I think that's his name, Paul Jones. I can give you the correct name after we come back from this song. But it's a very, very inspiring song about don't complain about one thing or another. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and get into the song, I Won't Complain by Demeter, and then we'll be right back here on the Covenant Cafe. Okay, try that again.
Duh.
Some hills to climb.
outweighed my bad day.
That was dope. I liked the vibe, and I was really chilling.
Yeah.
And that's so real. All my good days outweigh my bad days. And, you know, it's so funny that, you know, in this walk I've been noticing that we actually allow our bad days to outweigh everything. Like, we can have, like, 3 good days in a row, and then we have 1 bad hour. Next thing you know, it's just like, oh, man, when is it going to get better? What about this? What about that? And it's, I mean, that's really, really tough. Like, I'm picturing, because God is our Heavenly Father. So as a father, you know, you give your kids, you know, you're a father. So you give your kids all this stuff, and then something goes wrong all of a sudden, or something goes the way they didn't plan all of a sudden, and they, you know, they start the questioning. Like, how does that make you feel as a dad? So imagine that magnified towards God. And it's, you know, we got to do better. You know, I'm speaking to myself too. It's like things get rough, and it's just like I forget all my blessings. I forget everything God brought me through, and now once again, I'm in the worst part of my life. When I've been through worse and made it out.
Mm.
It just, that song reflects on, you know, we got to do better. We got to do better. Like, we have some things that count as joy. Yet
now,
and still, we overlook
now,
it.
I'm going to just let you know, I mean, my challenge to everybody, even including myself,
mm-hmm.
is coming week. I know there's a lot of challenges I had this past week. Well, however, the challenges that I had this week, there actually was 3 major challenges I had, but they were followed up with some very good things to come down the pipeline. So, those couple of things that came down the pipeline were way better, actually outweighed those other challenges.
True.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the song that I just played is called I Won't Complain. But I issue a challenge for you to go to YouTube and look up Reverend Paul Jones and listen to his version as well. And it's a pretty powerful piece. Now, this one is all jazzed up and had you moving and stuff like that. It's a very good song, but you have to really listen to it, listen to the words, see what's going on in the song here. Paul Jones is kind of a little bit slower, more traditional, and you can really grasp the words. Not taking anything from this young lady. She did a fantastic job with it. But when you listen to Paul, you know, Reverend Paul Jones, his version, a little bit slower so you can kind of, it's a very moving piece either way you cut it, you know. Either way, slice bread. That's a very moving piece. It's one of my favorite songs, period.
Who else?
Yeah. So we just got to get in that mindset that, you know, stop complaining so much. And there's something that you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you make sure you make something happen. I mean, if you can do something about it, make sure you do it. Not in a negative way, but if it's something positive, and you're complaining that things aren't going your way, this, that, and the third, maybe you need to start looking other places for jobs. You know, like you might be on a job that's just a deadbeat job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody in the United States not in the job that they want to work in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
This job that you're in maybe has some great benefits, but the overall deal outweighs the benefits. You might want to look somewhere else because you want to be happy where you're at. So instead of complaining, the more you complain, the more stress it causes you.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line.
The thing about complaining is complaining is not just affecting the complainer. It affects the person around, the people around the complainer. And it builds, it's like a domino effect. You know, if I'm complaining, like Lamont, we're on the air. So I just get on the air and I'm bitter. I'm just complaining about everything. Now, we got listeners, a lot of them. So that complaining is going to affect them. Now I'm pouring a complaining spirit into them, bitterness into them. And now they agitated. Now they got a family. They're agitated, and that agitation, it pours out on their family, that aggravation, all that. Now the family, whether it be a child or whatever, he got to go to school the next day
Monday, tomorrow, and everybody hates Mondays for some reason. He goes to school Monday, and he tripping. And he tripping on another student. And this other student, he's borderline like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to come to school, and I'm just going to fight this guy that I got a problem with tomorrow. And then it's just a long line of just, it's a root that got to be taken care of. You know, I really agree with you on, we got to do better than all this complaining. It really is, it's all self-check relationship with God. Get it.
And tell you what, this is the deal right here. Peep this. This is actually a segue into something else.
Okay.
This segue into what is coming up, ladies and gentlemen, in a couple of weeks. Time to get out and vote. Stop complaining about stuff. You want to change? Hey, if you want to try to make a change your way, get out there and vote. If you're not getting out there and vote for whoever candidate that you want, whether it's Mitt Romney, whether it's President Obama or any independent candidate, make sure you get out there and vote for your choice, because I'm not going to lean one way or another. And then they all politicians, so I'm not going to try to sway you. But my thing is this: if you have the ability to vote, get out there and vote for your candidate across the board.
You a couple of weeks ago, you said something so powerful that's still in my mind. You said you didn't vote before you started voting. You wasn't a voter. There's something you just didn't do, and. And when the president, it was something about the president, he was like, oh, man, this president sucked, but I ain't going to say nothing because I didn't vote. I have no right to complain.
I have no right to complain.
That's so powerful. Like, if you're not going to vote, you forfeit your rights to complain when you don't vote. You know, if you're not going, if you have a problem with society and you're not doing anything about it, you forfeit your right. And that's just amazing to me because it's like, I want to complain, but I can't because I didn't vote.
I want to complain, but I can't. Why? Because I didn't vote. Well, yeah, you got to shut your mouth. I'm sorry. You got to shut your mouth. You got to close it. Because, I mean, like, it's only fair. I mean, like, all these other people, maybe their candidate didn't win. Maybe they did get out there and vote for the candidate, but their candidate didn't win. The person that they wanted didn't get in office. So they can't complain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If the candidate that you want in office and that person didn't get in office and you complaining, why are you, okay, here's some incorrect English. Why is you complaining? You ain't get out there and vote. You ain't get out there poking no holes in the little booklet thing. You didn't get out there and pick out a sticker or pick up a flyer and read the information. You didn't stand in line. You didn't do none of that. You sat there, watched the news for the result. Oh, man, how they need a recount. The recount. You had to be a part of the vote.
You should have voted. You talking about a recount.
You ain't
maybe it would have been.
Talking about the society is red. They're trying to hold us back. The man
holding me back.
Yeah.
Why do you vote? You held us back. For real.
On some real stuff. There's some things, like, with me. I didn't vote in the beginning, and I do vote now. There are a lot of things that I used to complain about, but I don't. Because I'm like, look, okay, here's a scenario. I'm not a huge Tyler Perry fan. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I wasn't, you know. But however.
You let us know that every week.
However, I'm going to say this. I stopped complaining about what he does because, like, I've always wanted to do films. I do short films and stuff like that now. But, however, coming up, you know, I watch directors like Singleton, Spike Lee, all these other directors that are doing phenomenal things to maintain in the industry. And then you got somebody that has everybody's attention that's doing some stuff that I think it's not that good. But however, I stopped complaining about it because I'm like, look, I'm in the same field. So why don't I get out there and produce some films and plays that I want people to see And that's what I'm doing. So I stopped complaining, and I start reading everything that Tyler does, business-wise. Tyler's a smart dude. He understands his crowd. He understands that people are going to come to see Madea. So I can't. He can't bear it. You know, that's his meat and potatoes right there. That's what pays his bills. So he's always going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he does everything else around it. I can, you know, business wise, you can't be mad with him. Ethically, on the ethic side of things, then that's when I have a, that's where I had a bone. But I said, hey, I'm not gonna complain about it. I'm just gonna do the things that I want to do, put out there, whether it eventually gets to the national level or not. As long as I know by the time I'm in my rocking chair, I say, look, I didn't like these individuals, so I decided to put out my own things that made me feel comfortable with myself because I know I did certain things.
Right.
I don't complain about. Absolutely, it's been about 2 to 3 years when I said I'm not going to do it no more. You know, you're making money. Mm-hmm. I'm not. So hey, there it is. You know what I mean? So I can't hate them for that. So
I'm probably going to ask you when we get off the air what bothers you, because you mentioned this many times on the show. So I'm probably gonna ask you when we get off the air. Remind me if I forget. I probably won't forget though. But I might forget because I do forget.
Okay. Remind you about what?
I'm gonna ask you about this whole, you know, I think I know what it is about the Tyler Perry thing that you do not like or you agree with that he's doing. I think I know, but I don't. And I guess I want understanding because you know, we're partners in this. So I want to know how you feeling. You know, I might have something to say that might give you, I don't know. I just want to know. You know, you never know what we might do for each other as far as that talk goes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that, like I said, I just decided to do my own projects, put my own things out there. So my vision is out there, and I know my vision is out there, so eventually it'll reach the target audience that I want to hit. You know what I mean?
Understood.
So that's it. I mean, I won't complain. I'm not going to complain about it.
True.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end. It's been a wild ride today. We had some interesting stories, very interesting storylines today. So we're down to our 5 to 6 minutes. Lace will be giving us our words of advice for this week, the words to live by. So what are the words we need to live by this week?
So the words that we're going to live by, it comes from 1 John 2:15-17. And it reads, excuse me, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is in the world. So, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So for this week, with this scripture, it's telling us that we ought not to love the world. And the thing about when it's saying the world, it's talking about the vanity of the world, to be in love with your TV, to be in love with money, to be in love with your car, to be in love with all the material things, to be in love with the vanity of the world. You have made it, practically you are making it your God because it's something you feel like you can't live without, to be in love with the world. And mind you, when it says that the world is passing away, let's think about the trends. Y'all remember when the Afro was what's up. Then you had the bell-bottom jeans that was up. And then you had FUBU that was what's up. Now you can't wear none of that stuff because it's a problem because it has passed away. And when you fall in love with the world, you end up swaying just like the world. I've heard so many people, oh, I can't wear that. It's not in season. Man, there's people that's homeless that will wear it because they have nothing else. So you have people that goes crazy when they lose their car or they lose their job, they lose this, that, and the third. They go crazy because they have fell in love with the money or the benefits of it. But when you love God, and if you're not loving the world, when you love God and you have the love of God in you, you understand that life is a season. Things happen in seasons.
So you might go through a season where God is molding you and preparing you for an even better job. You lost that job because God is giving you something better, or God want to take you to a new place, or he needs to work some things out of you because he's bringing you to a new audience. This is the kind of thing that happens when you have a love for God. But when you love the world, you get caught up in all that stuff. And this is why we're saying, this is why he's saying, you know, the love of the world is when you have that lust, when you love, you lust after the flesh, the things the flesh wants, the things that the eye wants, all the things that's appealing to you, that pride, all that stuff. That's not God. That's not the love of God. So for this week, what I'm recommending, what I'm encouraging is for us to stay away from falling in love with these things that have no kind of value, to be honest with you, to have no true value, because it's going to pass, it comes and goes. But the thing about God is the same God from the beginning to the end, and he really loves us, and he is someone that he will not change in us, and he will give us peace in the midst of a storm. He will give us joy even when we're sad. So that's the love that I'm asking, or I'm encouraging that you pull closer to and stray away from all these vain things, the things that you that have no value. That's the word of the week for the week.
And you're absolutely, absolutely right about that, because a lot of people get fixated on, that's why they say, hey, let's not keep up with the Joneses. A lot of people try to keep up with the Joneses, and what the Joneses might have, it might be nice, but you don't know the price they're paying behind that.
Exactly.
You know, they may have a nice Cadillac, but hey, it might be $400 and $50 a month, and, you know, killing them as far as trying to keep that, Escalade. It looks nice in the highway, but have you ever paid attention how many times did they pull that joker out? You probably don't pull it out that often.
Exactly.
Especially when you get $4.
And what you're saying, I throw this in there too real quick, is that a lot of times people look at people and look what they got, and well, how they got that, well, I should have this and that. But you don't know what that season was like before that. You don't know the hell they went through before that, and why God blessed them with that. You know, we look at the bad side of, like, you don't know what they got to do to keep it. Also, but look at, you don't know what they've been through to get it. You don't know the crying nights, the nights of uncertainty, the nights of sleeping on the streets. You don't know what they've been through to get to where they are now. So that's why I encourage not to look. Like I said, don't chase the Joneses. Chase God.
There you go. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Here on the Covenant Cafe, we look forward to seeing you guys. Wow. Hearing from you guys next week, you know what I mean, partner?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Covenant Cafe. We appreciate you guys tuning in. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Here on the Covenant Cafe. Y'all have a good week. Be blessed.
The outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show. Feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lace, these are the hosts. From the east to the west, we broadcast coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for tears. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.